Julian Barnes is the national security reporter at the New York Times. Hi, Julian. This is John Williams, and you're on in Chicago on WGN. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
There's two big stories that seem to break or get further reported over the weekend. One was about Trump maybe destroying contemporaneous notes from his translator meetings with Putin. And the other one is that the FBI may have opened a sort of counterterrorism file or a file on Donald Trump himself to see if he was wittingly or otherwise working with the Russians. Those are the two big headlines over the weekend, right?
That's right. A counterintelligence investigation begun by the FBI in the days after James Comey was fired as FBI director, and new details about how the great lengths Mr. Trump has gone to keep his details of his meetings with Vladimir Putin private, even from his close aides.
What I have been having trouble keeping track of is the president, are the Republicans, is Sarah Sanders, are they all denying that any of these things happened, or are they, you know, that the media is getting it wrong, or are they just critical of the fact that they happened and that the media is reporting it? Where's the rub on this?
Well, that is a good question, and we have had administration officials sort of push back on the reports that they don't know what went on with the Putin meetings. But, you know, even after the Washington Post was first to break the news about Trump taking his translator's notes, we've known for a long time that his meeting in Helsinki with Vladimir Putin, there was no one else in the room besides the interpreter. Now we have new details of how he grabbed the notes after his meeting with Putin in Hamburg. So the issue here, and, you know, we at the New York Times have spoken to former administration officials who have confirmed these details for us. So while there is pushback from the White House, we have officials, former officials, currently, you know, saying that, no, this is right. There's just not a real understanding within the American government about what went on in these meetings, even months after they took place.
So your reporting is that, in fact, the notes between the meetings from the translators have been destroyed, that they don't exist.
Now, what I understand, what former officials have told the New York Times, is that President Trump took the notes after his meeting with Putin in at the G20 in Hamburg last. Then he made reference later as if he had destroyed them. Now, it's not clear if he had or if he didn't. But we also know from reporting by White House reporters that, you know, Trump has a habit of when he's done with a paper, he rips it up and tosses it in the trash bin. And of course, you're not allowed to do that if you're the president. So there's a whole team of people who then tape all those documents back together again. So it's very believable that he did rip them up. Although, you know, all we've reported at the New York Times is that he took them and implied to his aides that he had destroyed them.
And aside from the law, the implication is that while the Russians then know what happened, the American people, the president's advisors, the, you know, other important people who should know about this don't. But I think there's also a conversation to be had, and that is on the opportunity for privacy that the president should be afforded, right? I mean, how can he do business? You can't negotiate a real estate deal if everybody's looking in the room.
That is 100% true, and that is very important for your listeners to understand. Talking about high-level diplomacy between leaders, there is an expectation of secrecy, of privacy. If you want to make a deal, if you want to move forward in relations between countries, you need to be able to talk privately and candidly in order for that to happen. Now, what we had reported in the New York Times and what former officials had told us is that early in the Trump administration, there were some leaks about his talks with the Mexican president, with the prime minister of Australia, And the Australian Prime Minister's case, the sort of transcript of that call was widely circulated. And that really frustrated Mr. Trump. And he felt like, I need, you know, if I let anyone into the room, if I let anyone listen to a call, then, you know, the leaks will happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what officials have said is after those, after that happened, they took steps to tighten things up, to make sure that the people who needed to know what the president had agreed to or said knew, but that the people who were just gawking did not need to know. And so those caveats were in place for other calls. Now, the Putin measures go beyond that. It's not just that, you know, a few aides are in the room. No aides are in the room for a lot of these calls. Rex Tillerson was in on one. On another, it was just Trump and the interpreter. And that is very unusual, very unusual. That, the reason of having aides is that, that people can act upon what you agree to or know where you want to take policy and then help shape it.
Julian Barnes, one other question for you, and it's the same sort of question. Do we know that the FBI opened up a counter-espionage file on Donald Trump, or is the reporting itself suspect, right?
Well, you know, Adam Goldman, Mike Schmidt, Nick Fandos, who did the reporting on this story, excellent reporters, great track record on this story. I personally have no doubts about their reporting. But I urge your readers, your listeners, to go and read the story because they put you know, caveats and nuance in that story. We know that this was opened up. We know it was begun. We know that the special counsel took it over. And we know the special counsel has asked about Russia and Russia ties. But we don't know for a fact whether there is a counterintelligence investigation still ongoing. We just know that it was opened.
Julian Barnes is a national security reporter at the New York Times, and it's I have more to say about this. I think our listeners will down the road, but you're right. First, read the story, and let's figure out what we're talking about. And I really appreciate your time, Julian. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.